This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. It has been a busier macroeconomic week than one might have thought when one woke up on Monday morning. A week ripe, I would say, for a little bit of analysis on live radio. So that's what we're going to do. David Gura is at Bloomberg. Catherine Rampell is at The Washington Post. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
All right, so let's. I feel obliged, like I feel some fiduciary duty to give a nod to Janet Yellen here, Catherine, and the Fed. Not, obviously, they didn't really do anything. What does it mean for the next meeting? And let's blow by this one quickly because there's not a lot to say, right?
I think that people are still unclear about what's going to happen the next meeting. I've gotten a lot of notes from economic analysts this week saying, well, obviously this means that in December they're going to raise rates. And other ones have said, obviously this means they're not going to. I think basically, as we've been doing for the last few months, we should be watching the data, looking at the jobs report, and that might provide some greater clarity.
Mr. Gura, my friend?
Yeah, I actually, before I left here, Bloomberg, among other things, collects a lot of data, and one is a survey
yes,
of what economists are saying about when this raise might take place. So in that survey of economists, 50% and even 50% are saying that will happen in December. But, you know, I think they're going into this meeting. It was funny to watch sort of the consensus sort of taper off. People were pretty much convinced by the end that nothing was going to happen at this one, and I think that's starting to happen for the December meeting as well.
All right, there you go. Fed in 45 seconds. Boom, done. Let us move on to Washington, D.C. We are going to have... a little bit later in the broadcast, a spot by Andy Euler on what the deal might mean just in terms of going forward. But let me talk about the big thing that's on the table, one would think, with Paul Ryan in the speaker's chair, tax reform. Catherine, what do you think the odds are that now in the next, I don't know, 18 months or so, something actually substantive happens on this thing that's been 35 years in the waiting?
Don't know.
All right, then. Thanks very much, Catherine. Washington Post.
I think that there's a lot of appetite for doing something on taxes. We have a very screwed up tax code, both on the personal income tax side and the corporate income tax side. And Democrats and Republicans think we should fix it and we should simplify it. But a lot of the things that are that economists would say are no-brainers are still politically super
right.
difficult, not to mention that things that reasonable people can disagree on also, you know, exist.
Are disagreed on, yeah.
Are disagreed on, exactly. So, you know, in my heart of hearts, I hope that there is something that comes through in the next 18 months. But you may also see, in addition to the usual barriers for tax reform,
right.
just this kind of waiting game until we get a new president.
David, you it's worth a note here. Before you went to Bloomberg, you were in Washington for us. You covered this stuff in and out on the Hill. What do you think?
You know, Paul Ryan got up there and gave a very good speech calling for a lot of togetherness, calling for a lot of change to the culture mm-hmm. on Capitol Hill. It was... could be construed as inspiring. One would hope that maybe some of those representatives took that to heart. But, you know, the climate there still is very difficult. I will say this two-year deal strikes me as something notable. As you say, having covered Washington for such a long time, I really think that 2 years seems like a very long time in light of some of the deals that we've had before. So, you know, I suppose there's a chance that he could get to tax reform, something he's talked about wanting to do for a very long time. We saw this week floated another really big pharmaceutical merger driven by the prospect of moving a tax base overseas.
Yeah.
Again, that's something that gins up a lot of conversation about tax reform. So maybe it'll happen.
All right. Catherine, last topic of the day is we're back to the Fed, but not on monetary policy, on regulatory policy. They came out today with some new rules about the big banks and how, in theory, we're going to be able to wind them down if something bad happens. It's all about issuing some debt and taking care of capital requirements. Are we safer now than we were 6 years ago?
Well, the rule hasn't gone into effect yet.
It's a proposal,
right?
Right, exactly.
It's a proposed rule, and this is one among many steps that have been taken to try to buffer taxpayers actually from being on the hook for bailing out these banks. You know, I think in some ways we've guarded against what happened in the previous financial crisis, and in some ways we've moved in the opposite direction in that there's so much more skepticism on the part of the American public about interventions in saving banks, even though, you know, most economists you'll talk to will say, that was necessary. That's, you know, the bailouts were responsible for saving us from going into another Great Depression. But there's so much, again, political ill will towards that, that no matter how many rules you pass, no matter how robust your living will is, I do wonder whether the politics would get in the way next time.
As always. David Gura from Bloomberg. Right? Come on, right? The politics
always.
Are in the way. David Gura at Bloomberg and Catherine Pell at The Washington Post. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.
All right. Have a good weekend. Wall Street today was kind of touch and go, actually, till the end. And then traders, they said the heck with it. They sold off into the weekend. We'll have the details when we do the numbers.